It's kind of late, as it sometimes is for me, so it was dark out, and it was one of those nights that seemed especially dark. You know the kind I mean, don't you? When you're driving along and it's hard to see, because I don't know what it is, if it's that the moon is new and there's not much light coming from it, or if it's the clouds or what it is, but sometimes it just seems dark. And it was one of those kind of nights. And so I got in my pickup. I got a pretty good sized F-150 pickup. And I was driving home, and as I was on the route, I turned on to 12th Corso, and right about there, as you make that turn, it goes down in this swale, and then it comes back up. And if you're familiar with Nebraska City, you kind of know what I am talking about, or you can imagine some other type of place. But anyway, just after I turned, and you know, I hadn't got much up of speed. I wasn't doing more than 50. No, I wasn't going that fast. But I hadn't got up to much of a speed, and I just kind of started down into the swale, and then something happened that just scared daylights out of me for a moment. And right there in front of me were three bikers walking their bikes late at night. And they weren't dressed with light reflective clothing like they should have been. And it was a dark night anyway, it's hard to see. And I was sure thankful that those bikes had those reflective stickers on them, because that was the first thing that I noticed. And I noticed that there were three reflective stickers, and I couldn't quite make out yet exactly what it was, but I had a pretty good idea. And so I approached pretty slowly, because they're walking them. And it doesn't take much effort for an F-150 pickup to overtake them. And if I hadn't seen them, there probably would have been news reports about how I ran right over those folk, and it wouldn't have been a pretty thing. And I'd have been sick about it. But there was light coming from the headlights of my pickup. And they did have those reflectors. And I don't know if they know that those reflective things and the lights of my pickup saved their lives that night. I can go into all of the things they should have done different. Because in that moment, those people walking in a land of darkness needed light to shine. Well, that's what the scriptures tell us happens at Christmas. Listen to this from Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and valiant men and mixing strong drink, who acquit the guilty for a bribe and deprive the innocent of his right. This is a dark world that we're in, and it needs light to shine. Isaiah 9 tells us the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And to skip forward a bit to verse 6 there, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Christmas shines light into a dark world. And this dark world is in desperate danger of being run over by judgment. And we should be grateful when that light has shone in our lives. Jesus said of himself, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." He said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Jesus then tells his followers, You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It is to people who have believed the good news that light has dawned on their lives, and their lives shine light on those who are living in the darkness of an evil world. And so Paul writes to the Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse 11, 1. "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains coming upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on a breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." At the conclusion of this sermon, one of the things that I am hopeful for is that you will be encouraged in your following of Jesus Christ, that it will help you have your heads just a little bit higher, and it will help you have your walk just a little bit brighter for the sake of your Savior Jesus. So hard to do at Christmas time, oddly enough. I remember a story my dad told. I think I've told it before, so if I have and I do it again, please. I don't have that many. But he talked about when he was a little boy. He had come home from a day at school, And he walked into the house, and his dad, my grandpa, was all excited. And he said to him, "Jack, come here. You got to see this." And he walked into their living room area, and he turned a switch. And for the first time, a light came on inside the house. And my grandpa was so excited about that, that the very first thing that he needed to do when my dad came home from school was to show it off. Somebody told me last week, said, "You know, while you were preaching, I felt like I should just yell out amen. I just wanted to shout." And I said, "Well, what was stopping you? Go right ahead. If there's something that's that exciting, you ought to be excited about it and you ought to express it." Brothers and sisters, light has shined in the darkness of this world. It has shined into your heart so that you might believe in Jesus Christ. And you are the light of the world shining now in that same dark world. Amen?
Amen,
amen to that. This is good news, and it addresses some significant concerns. I'm calling them ending concerns. Because, as is always seemingly the case, during times of unsettledness, we talk more and more, often more than we should, about things that are end-time things. And Thessalonians is a book about end-time things. I don't want you not to think about those things, because our Lord Jesus is coming again. He's coming to get us. And whether we fall asleep in this world and open our eyes in the next and we see Him face to face, or whether He comes to get us and we feel our feet leave the ground and we see Him face to face, we're going to see Him face to face. Those ending concerns, though, are not about times and seasons, they're about security and certainty. Jesus doesn't want us to think about things ad nauseum that might be. He wants us to think constantly about what will be. And so I don't want to get embroiled in trying to sort out whether these are the times. What I know is that someday at an unknown time, He's coming to get us. And if we've passed on into eternity, when that happens, we're coming with Him. And the rest who are followers of Jesus will be rising up to meet, and there'll be this glorious moment where we meet each other in the sky and we'll be with the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen to that. This is such good news. But I don't need you to be concerned about trying to ferret out the times and seasons. You have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night.
Amen,
this is the reality. He's coming. And He's coming at a time that'll be a surprise to folks. And He's coming at a time that will be an assault on a dark world. He's coming to raid our world and take out of this world those that are His. This reality is not about peace and safety or peace and security. It's about what Jesus will actually do. I am sometimes amazed that people put so much hope in human solutions, like elections, or retirement programs, or jobs, or marriages, or this, or that, or the other thing. There's so many human solutions that people put too much interest in. And they say, finally, I can be at peace. I can live in security. If anything, we should be taught by experience and by history that people who cry out peace and security and are trusting the wrong thing don't have either. If you are trusting in X, and X is not Jesus Christ, then you're trusting the wrong thing. If you're trusting in someone who is not Jesus Christ, you're trusting the wrong person. But if you're trusting in Jesus, then you absolutely know that there should be peace, because that's been purchased by Christ on the cross. And you certainly should walk in security, because you know that Jesus has you in his hand and no one can make him let go. Ah, this is good news. This is good news to those of us who are not in the darkness any longer. We are not children of the light or of the dark, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light, children of the day. Let us be people who are living in the light. And there are three words that we need to focus on that are brought to our attention in this passage. And the first phrase is, be awake. So then, let us not sleep, verse 6, as others do, but let us keep awake. Let us keep awake and be on the alert so that we notice what's going on. And so that when Jesus comes and that eastern sky breaks open and that trumpet resounds and the shout of heaven comes down and we looked up and we see it, it won't be a surprise, because we've been looking for it all along. Stay awake. Be awake. When I was a kid growing up on our farm, dairy farm, 5:30 every morning. Some of you know what I'm talking about. 5:30 every morning, we had to be out at the barn in the process of milking. Those cows had been trained, and they were mostly coming up, although we had a dog. He was a marvelous dog. He was an Australian shepherd, and he knew what to do with cows. And he would go, and he would kind of nip a little bit at their hooves, and they would move in the right direction, and he would go bring them up. And so they'd be there in the holding pen, and they'd be ready to start wandering through milking, and boy, you better have somebody there to milk them. And so before 5:30, my dad would start calling out to everybody in the house, you know, wake up! And he would shout that up. We had an upstairs room, I and my two brothers. And he would say, wake up, boys! by which he really meant wake up dawn, because they were a lot younger than me and they hadn't really kind of come to the ability to do as much. He really wanted dawn to wake up. But he was kind to say, wake up, boys. I didn't want to wake up some mornings. Boy, I didn't want to wake up. There were some days that I would have just given about anything if I could have just turned back over and said, not today, Dad. Partly due to just a smidge of fear, but mostly due to love. When my dad called up the stairs and said, wake up, I woke up. And I got out of bed, and I got my chore clothes on, and I headed downstairs, and we headed out to the barn, and we milked them. We had 40 head of cattle that we milked every day, twice a day, for my entire youth. But it's okay. I learned a lot of good lessons doing that. Oh, be awake, because your Father in heaven is calling to you. He's calling to you. Be awake. Be on the alert. Be sensitive to what will happen. You don't need to know about times and seasons. You don't need to hear people talk about peace and security. You need to be awake, ready to meet Jesus. And the only way to do that is to admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and to ask for forgiveness from Jesus Christ, who's the only one who can give it. Be awake and be sober in your assessment of your life. Let us keep awake and be sober, it says. Not flighty. Not some sort of effervescent thing that bubbles up for a little bit and then falls back down flat. But sober thinking. Thinking carefully, thinking purposefully, thinking strategically, thinking about what needs to be done, not just what you wish might happen. I have hopes and hopes and dreams of what Christmas morning will look like for us. Part of that is based on some experience in the past. I have a pretty good idea what we're going to have for breakfast. I have a pretty good idea how our Christmas morning unwrapping is going to take place. But there are things that could come up that could affect that, like maybe we won't be able to buy eggs. I don't know. Probably will. But there are things that could happen that could throw that into a ditch. I need to be sober about what really matters at Christmas time. This is partly why I like that story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, where he goes down and he takes all the bamboozlers and jiggles and whatever thoughts, I can't come up with all the right names. And he steals all of the stuff of Christmas away. And he takes that up to his mountain and Max, that poor dog, has to pull that sled all the way up. Max is my hero in the story, by the way, that poor little dog. And then he listens to hear all the who's down in Whoville. You know the story. If you don't, you should watch it. It's worth watching. But what he hears coming up from the valley is not whales, but he hears songs coming up because he couldn't steal Christmas. Because Christmas was more than packages and trimmings. Now, the story doesn't tell you. This is where How the Grinch is not good. But you and I know that the reason Christmas could be a time of song, even if everything else were stripped away, is because we're celebrating a Savior who came to purchase us on a cross. Who came to shine light into the darkness so that we might think carefully. You know, I think I've mentioned before, it usually happens more and more as the season gets underway, how little I like going into the stores because all of the songs that they're playing in the stores are so inane. I mean, how many times can you hear Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and still think that's interesting? It's not. Once or twice is fine. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Should be outlawed. There are just things about the season that aren't sensible. But you and I that are awake and sober know what matters at Christmas. And so, if you'll think about those things, you can belong to the day. And you can be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of the hope of salvation. And nothing can steal Christmas from you if those are the things that you have on. If your faith and love for Jesus Christ are solid, and if you have a hope of salvation, it doesn't matter if you don't get anything under the tree or if you don't even have a tree, because you have everything that really matters about the season. For God, I have a hard time reading this passage without it causing me to tremble and to shed a bit of a tear, because it's so powerfully true. But look at verse 9. You who are in the light, look at verse 9. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake, that is, still living, or asleep, having passed away, might live with Him. You're not destined for wrath, but you're destined to obtain salvation if you're a believer in Christ. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I offer no such hope. Because the only final end of that is destruction and eternal condemnation. But I'm talking to people who have hope. I'm talking to people who have faith. I'm talking to people who have love for Jesus Christ. And I'm talking to people who might not come to love and faith and hope in Christ, but it's not too late to turn. Amen. To those of you who will turn to Jesus Christ or who have turned to Jesus Christ, you are safe in His hands. You are saved. You can have hope for all eternity. Whether you fall asleep in this life or whether you're awake now and waiting to see Him break through, you are in a great place. So be encouraged. Christmas can be a difficult time for a lot of people because they place too much confidence in things that don't matter. But if you are a child of the day, a child of the light, if you are one on whom the light has dawned, and you've come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, be encouraged. Get your head up. Christmas might not turn out the way you wrote it down. Christmas might not turn out the way you'd planned it. It often comes that the Christmas pudding isn't so good. But the Savior who came is glorious, and He's yours. A light has dawned. I could give some counsel to people who are riding bicycles late at night, especially on dark nights. But the manufacturer puts those reflectors on. They didn't do a thing to get ready to be met by an F-150 pickup in the middle of the night. I don't know if they were thankful enough that those reflectors were there. I was thankful. But there is a whole world that's walking unprepared in the dark. And there's not an F-150 pickup coming up behind them. There's a judge of the universe about to wield a sword. Are you ready? I asked you last week. Still a good question. If you're ready, amen to what Jesus has done. Amen to what Jesus has done for us. If you are a child of light, if you are awake in the light, if you're sober in the light, if you're shining your light, shout hallelujah for what Jesus Christ has done in your lives. And now go out there as an encouraged soul and shine your light and reflect Jesus Christ to this dark lost world. Amen. Lord, thank you for shining light in my heart. Thank you for shining light in the hearts of most everyone here today. I don't know everyone's soul's status, but oh God, I believe most of them here could say thank you, thank you, thank you. And they could get up with their heads up and they could go and they could walk through this dark world shining. Help us all shine your light for those walking in darkness this Christmas. Amen.